Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Thanks for listening to AFR. What did you think about that last interview we did with the
Cold Case with J. Warner Wallace? Even his name sounds detective-y. Yeah. J. Warner Wallace.
Yeah.
When J. Warner Wallace comes knocking on your door,
you're caught.
Your criminal career is over.
What did he say? He's been on Dateline more than any other detective. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I didn't know this, but apparently those cases, those old Datelines are reformatted, so they'll have a different narrator and maybe some additional pictures.
I haven't seen that show in a long time, so it's still on somewhere.
I guess so. And he says they'll be on different networks and Discovery or what's that ID? I think that's kind of like all detective. There's a bunch of those. When I scroll through to find something to watch, there are all kinds of shows about crimes.
Right.
And
people are fascinated by the crime and getting caught.
I guess because it's real, and.
Mm-hmm.
So he applied what he learned as a cold case detective. He was also a homicide detective that worked on cases that weren't cold cases, but cold case means it's just unsolved. And he applied what he learned to the Bible as he was trying to figure out whether Christianity was true or not. And that's a fascinating story.
So what was your favorite detective TV show?
You mean currently or just throughout life? I like NCIS. I guess I would say I like that
NCIS.
Show.
Is that the Mark Harmon show?
Yes.
Okay. Jade weighed in, said Law and Order's better.
I will say this. I used to make fun of my daughter when she was in high school and college. When she would be at the house, I'd come in from work and I'd hear that dun dun dun.
Law and Order theme.
Law and Order thing. I'd make fun of her and say, "Oh my goodness, another Law and Order." And then for the first time, I sat down and watched a couple episodes with her, and they were really good. I'll say this, especially Gorin and Ames. I liked those that detective combination. But I still like NCIS because Mark Harmon slaps that Italian guy in the back of his head, and DiNozzo. And it just reminds me of the way I grew up.
There's one cliche in that show, and we don't watch that show. Except if we go on a trip, my wife, Allison, she'll cut it on the Law and Order channel. I don't know what it's wall to wall.
Wall to wall.
Law and Order and the NCIS.
Yeah.
They're just one after another after another after another episodes.
Yeah. I think that's USA. Channel network.
So there's one cliche in that NCIS show with Mark Harmon.
Yeah.
He always walks in the middle of a conversation every show, and he knows exactly what they've been talking about for the last few minutes. He just has this.
That bugs you?
Yeah, it bugs me because cliches bug me, period, on TV shows.
Well, you're well known for looking for plot holes.
I'm a plot hole guy. So you don't want to watch a movie with me because I'll point out how you can't do that. That's not real.
Yeah.
So I try not to do that too much.
And I know you and I have talked. We both drive our wives crazy if we're watching, especially a movie on DVD where I can go backwards, scan backwards. I say, oh, there's a mistake. He was holding the glass in his right hand and then his mouth's in his left, those kind of things. And my wife said, I don't care. No way. I want to show you. He had a red shirt on and then it's a blue shirt.
Shut up and just watch the movie?
In the same scene. Yeah, so she says, "I don't care, Ed. I know, but I've got to show you."
So Sergeant Friday doesn't compare to the.
I wasn't a big dragnet.
Me either.
Guy,
But it did start out.
Those shows were kind of slow.
The city, Los Angeles,
right?
California.
When we were growing up, I mean, I much rather see something with some action in it.
Yeah, Sergeant Friday. What was his sidekick?
It was Joe Friday. Joe Friday
and who else?
Oh, man.
They were just a barrel of laughs, those guys.
Just the facts, man.
I just tuned in for the humor.
It wasn't exactly a bunch of cutting up, was it?
I was, actually like him to be your Sergeant Friday to be your dad. Right.
You go, what time did you come in last night? Oh, I came in at 11. I was up at 11. Just the facts, son.
Yeah, you want to.
What time did you come in? Oh, maybe it was 11:05. I was up at 11:05. You weren't here. I said, just the facts.
Ma'am. All right. So, the city, Los Angeles, California. I did say Los Angeles. I forgot. But, you know, it's just very.
Did he say the names have been changed to protect the innocent?
Protect the innocent. That was yeah. The first time you ever heard that expression.
Yeah.
The names have been changed.
The names have been changed.
To protect the innocent. That was a detective show there. Columbo is my favorite of all time, though.
Columbo.
Yeah. Oh, you don't beat Columbo.
But the greatest detective, of course, The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Batman.
Okay, well,
Batman.
I'm talking about real world. Columbo's real world.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Loved Columbo when he had. I love the scene in Columbo every episode when the guy who did it knows Columbo knows, and Columbo acts like he doesn't know, but he's coy.
Yeah.
And both of them know. Actually, both of them know that they know.
Yeah. And now it's Columbo. Now, I will say this. I do love Columbo.
Yeah. That moment in the show, you wait for that moment.
Yeah.
It all builds towards that.
I wish I could learn to imitate his voice, because that's a classic
voice.
Peter Falk. Peter Falk. Yeah. You know, it's such a great.
Hey, if you've ever watched an episode of Columbo, do yourself a favor. I don't even know where it is on TV, but if you want to see a great detective show with great personality.
It was about an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit, they drew it out a little bit more than an hour show where they kind of condense everything. But that is classic. Every episode when, you know, because he acts like an idiot.
Right.
A bumbling detective. Right. And so the criminal's always thinking, this guy's no match for me. But that moment when he asks the question, the guy knows he's on to me.
He goes, well, you told me earlier, 3 days ago, you did this on this, but now – you're saying you did this day, and then the guy goes, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm caught. I'm dead. I did say that. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to contradict. So Rockford Files also.
Rockford Files were good.
James Garner. Anyway, we got to move on here, but just wanted to know. But we had a detective on last half hour,
segment.
Which led me to ask Ed his favorite detective TV show, which led to the last few minutes of compelling radio. You won't find this in Hungary. I'll tell you that right now.
5 minutes, you won't ever get back, folks.
You won't ever get back. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You want to introduce our next guest?
Absolutely. Want to welcome Jimmy Dodd, who is founder and president of Pastor Serve. It's a ministry that provides care and counseling to pastors. He co-authored a book with Larry Magnuson. The name of the book is Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be on, and I'd love to talk about the book, but I'd also like to talk about Mannix and Ironsides and all my favorites.
Mannix and Ironsides.
We can spend. We got a couple of minutes on this. So you're saying Mannix
and Ironsides. Raymond Burr.
I love both of them.
So those are your top two. Right there.
Those would be my top two, and I think that Heart to Heart, I think, would be number three. Love Heart to Heart.
Yeah, that was, I forget, who's the actor and actress that played in that?
I think they were a married couple.
I don't know who the actor was, but the actress, it was Jill St. John. I don't care about
Wagner.
Jill St. John, not too hard on the eyes.
The guy's name was Wagner.
Oh, Robert, was it Robert Wagner?
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly right.
Robert Wagner. Macmillan and Wife too, pretty good.
Yes,
pretty good,
yeah, those are fun shows. You didn't have to constantly have the remote in your hand just in case,
right?
You know, for your kids,
good family TV.
Yeah,
those were the good old days.
Amen, brother. Well, tell us, what's your day job there, Jimmy?
Well, my day job is I get to love pastors. I get to care for pastors and coach pastors, and I work with a group called Pastor Serve. We have a great staff around the country, and we get to be pastors for pastors, and we get to be that confidential place where they get to call and just process a lot of things in life. So I am very, very honored to do what I do every day.
Well, now, you had been a pastor for more than 30 years, right? So, I mean, this wasn't just academic for you. You had been in the saddle, so to speak. You knew what a lot of the stresses were, a lot of the struggles that pastors
Correct.
Face. So what made you, I'm sure it's God's calling in your life, but just in terms of your human, vision, what made you think, well, I want to try to help pastors because, I know what it's like?
That's a great question. It's a long story, but I will do everything I can to make it very short. I've been a pastor for years and years. It went very well. I think that you would look and say, man, strong church. It's a growing church. He's a strong leader, very strong speaker, all those things. But there was very much a big front stage and a big backstage, and they didn't match. And I had a tremendous fear of, if you get to know my backstage, you will not like me as a pastor. So there was a lot of hiding. There was a lot of fear. There was just lots of pretending. And I came to a point where I was just emotionally exhausted. And I just thought, gosh, I need some help here. And God was very gracious, and there are some men that spoke into my life. And I began to really, really believe the gospel in about 1998. And it changed the way that I led. It changed the way that I preached, all those things. The thing that was completely unexpected was I began to have pastors just call and say, you seem like a safe guy all of a sudden. I think I'd like to process with you. And I heard the same story over and over again. I heard the story, that there's a place on paper I should go, like if I have issues in life, I go to my board or my elders or my deacons, or like my bishop or my superintendent, but I would never go there for two big reasons. One is I might get fired, and two, I don't think that they're competent to really help me with the things I'm struggling with. And so I just began to hear that story over and over again, that pastors felt like there's no place to go, and God just overwhelmed my heart with that. And so I met with pastors for about a year, and after a year, it just began to grow. And after a while, I said, I really believe that God has changed my call. So at that point, we launched Pastor Serve, and it's been a wild ride ever since.
What are the top three things that you think pastors struggle with? And, the top three things that are probably the most debilitating for a pastor? Because lots of pastors leave the ministry every year. I don't know what the numbers, you can maybe help with that, but what's causing that?
Yeah, gosh, that's a great question. That there's lots of issues, obviously, with pastors. There are massive expectations, which are often extremely unrealistic upon pastors, that we have these expectations that they'll work long hours, that they'll have the ideal marriage, that they're, just have the best kids, that they have struggles just like everybody else. And, that those expectations can just become crushing. So they have big issues in their marriage, you might say, and they oftentimes don't know what to do because they're thinking, we really can't go for marriage counseling because our church would be shocked to know that me as their pastor, that we're having some big issues in our marriage. And yet, pastors have struggles just like everybody else. So I would say that's a big one. And then very much a part of that is a lot of pastors carry secrets. And it's incredible how they can just crush us. And if you just share with one person, so much of the weight is just released off of that secret. So we have calls every day from just lots of pastors saying, I've never shared this with anyone, but, then there's a big secret. And then there's all those things that you'd just expect. There's big issues as far as pornography. There's big issues if the spouse is not on board. Oftentimes the pastor's spouse feels like, I feel like there's huge expectations on me, but I don't have a job description, and yet I feel like I just let the whole church down, so I feel like I need to do more and more, and oftentimes that just creates big issues. And then, I would say that the one call that we have just constantly is I'm really struggling between my life and then just overall ministry. And I just kind of feel like I don't have things actually in balance. So I've got my spouse and my kids and my life over here, but then I've got the church and my ministry, and I'm really struggling as far as life and ministry. And we say the same thing every time. That's the wrong paradigm, because all of life is ministry, and your family is your primary ministry. So when you care for your family, That's your primary ministry. That's absolutely number one. And so those are just a few of the things that we hear, I mean, just every day from pastors, just everywhere.
Do you think, let's talk about that paradigm issue for a second. Do you think there is, now this is a tough question. I don't know how you'd answer this. Do you think there's something wrong with Western Christianity, our view of what ministry is? I guess what I'm saying is most Christians who attend church, have attended church all their lives or whatever, their expectation, and you mentioned expectations, but they believe the pastor should handle everything and they expect the pastor to be gifted in all areas. They have to be a visionary. They have to be a leader. They have to be good in the pulpit. They have to be good counselors. They need to be able to oversee, you know, committee meetings, all that kind of stuff. Do you think that that is a problem with Western Christianity or just the way we do things here?
Gosh, that's a great question. And you know, I think that that's actually a hard question because we've done lots of work around the world, and you'd be just amazed. But there are some core issues that you find all over the world. Hmm. There are guys all over the world and also gals that just work just really stupid hours because they just feel like their whole worth is just wrapped up in just their ministry. So they work just crazy long hours. So we have dealt with those, I mean, in Africa and throughout Asia. And I mean, you know, and they work these long hours because they have these expectations. And it's exactly the same thing.
Huh.
But let me just also say that there is very, very much a Western mindset as well that is very much in that business culture where we really believe, well, you know, that you're the pastor, and so you've got this job description, and so you know what, I just expect you to do it because I've got everybody in my work, and we all have these jobs, and we have to do them, and yet we create these absolutely crazy job descriptions that say that, well, you're going to teach and you're going to preach and you're going to counsel and you're going to care for the poor, you're going to be involved in board meetings, on and on. And if you add up the hours, it's like, I mean, it's just crazy hours every week. It might be 90 hours a week. And there's a point where you say, that's just unrealistic. That's just unrealistic because you don't have that capacity. And so you have pastors that are just struggling just to maintain these expectations because of these job descriptions that don't have an ounce of realism in them, but they're just have this fear of, I've got to do these things. And so if you work those hours, that means some things have got to go. That means that you have to either get less sleep or a lot less exercise or not spend as much time with your spouse or your kids. And then as a result of that, you might start to be very unhealthy or your marriage starts to go downhill and your kids go wild. And the church says, well, what's wrong with our pastor? Well, they didn't have time to do anything because of the expectations that you placed upon them to be all things to all people constantly with just a ridiculous amount of hours spent doing it.
So,
other than that, being a pastor is a blessing.
It is a blessing.
It's a wonderful blessing, brother.
It's tremendous. It's one of those things, I love it, but it's hard work. I don't know lazy pastors. I know pastors that work extremely, extremely hard. And I would just encourage churches, begin with capacity first, and then talk about the job description, but don't begin with the job description because you'll wipe out capacity because it will be overwhelming.
We're talking to Jimmy Dodd, who's founder and president of Pastor Serve. It's a ministry that provides care and counseling to pastors. He co-authored with Larry Magnuson the book we're discussing with him, Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. So let me ask you about rest and play. I mean, pastors aren't allowed to do either one, are they?
It's very rare, but they need to rest and play. And it's the right thing to do because, I mean, that's our Sabbath. I mean, you know, that's our rest. That's what God did. Oftentimes I talk to pastors and they say, well, I would rest, but I'm not tired. And I try to very, very, very pastorally say, do you think that God rested on day seven because he was tired? No, he rested to actually create this way for us to live. It's a pattern for us to live by. And if you think that God had to rest just because of that pattern, but you don't, you know, who in the world do you think you are?
Right.
That, you know, we have to rest. And obviously Christ took time to go away. We're told all throughout the scripture, in Mark chapter 1, he goes away to a place that's solitary to pray because he knows he's got to be alone. And oftentimes that's hard for pastors. But, you know, Jesus had to do that. So, I mean, once again, who in the world do we, you know, do we think we are that we can just go nonstop and not have to have that time to rest and just back away?
Mm. Talking to Jimmy Dodd, and what's the book and what's your ministry name?
It's called Pastor Serve, and you can learn all about it at pastorserve.net, and the book is Pastors Are People Too.
What they won't tell you, but you need to know. And what was
correct.
Great ministry and great, you know, we need to keep our pastors, you know, reinvigorated, I guess you could say, you know, renewed.
Amen to that, brother. Yeah, amen to that.
So thank you, brother. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your ministry and what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Ed, Tim. All right, you guys have a great day.
Okay,
all
take
right,
care.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You served as a pastor for many years.
That's right. In fact, this is it's been 1 year since we stepped down from our church.
How long did you do that, though?
We pastored that part-time, worked here full-time for the last 20 years and pastored there for 18 and a half. And I love those people. It's, you know, and been in the ministry, you know, the pastorate in one form or another for 35 years, somewhere along in that number. I go by how long I've been married.
Why'd you keep doing it?
Well, I just felt a calling to help the church and to help God's people. And so that, you know, it's a calling, you know. I'm sure there are some people who do it because they choose that as a vocation. But
I was a pastor's kid.
Yes.
A preacher's kid.
Right.
On a PK.
Yeah.
So, been in the family. I was not a pastor myself.
But you did see, I'm sure, when your dad, we're talking about Brother Don, the founder of AFA, you know, the lot of pressures, a lot of responsibilities, you know, on a pastor.
Especially on your small church.
Yes.
Pastors. And this is not to take anything away from big church pastors, because they
their own set of
stresses.
They
have their own set of stresses. But I just remember when my dad was pastoring when I was a kid. He was a Methodist.
Right.
Of course, Methodists, they move you around.
Yes.
You know, every 4 years or whatever. That's typical for, which is hard on families a lot of times to uproot and move. But, you know what you're signing up for when you get into it. But I just remember, man, he did everything at the church. I'm talking about mowing the grass.
Right.
Okay.
Because really? It's not, because a small church just doesn't have a lot of people.
Oh yeah, we had 100 people maybe.
Yeah,
and he would, you know, I vividly remember one Saturday, you know, he was riding. I remember him riding up on our lawnmower, coming about a block or two from the church, and it was pouring down rain.
Yeah,
and that was a visual moment. I thought, wow, just small church pastors, they do.
Yeah.
They mow the grass in the rain.
Yeah,
that's a country song, by the way. It's a good one.
Mowing the grass
in the rain.
And they got to do everything else. They got to get
preacher,
on and get
preacher
their
man, mowing the grass in the rain.
There you go.
By Merle Haggard, 1969, I think it was. Anyway, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and they got to do everything else. You know, they've got to, you know, take care, make sure Sunday school's covered.
Right,
you know,
right.
The counseling, all that kind of stuff.
I know, Sunday morning breakfast,
yeah,
men's group,
yeah,
you know,
pastor's got to make sure
if it isn't
that
done right,
does it,
you know,
complain to the pastor.
The eggs aren't scrambled right. Who are we going to go see? I want to meet with you, pastor, after church. You know, the eggs weren't scrambled right this morning. You going to let Brother John keep cooking? I won't be here anymore. I'm just telling you, I have my standards.
I'm withholding my tithe.
I'm withholding my tithe. You don't scramble those eggs right. See you back here tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.